Are you or tell me?
Hold on. Hey, Dalit on the days, three lines from the bottom. We've been talking about the dinim of Olulo Yodu when we say that if a korban, even though there's psul in it, goes on to the mizbeach and we leave it on the mizbeach and we don't take it off. And when we say im olu yodu, when we say the psul is serious enough, that we actually take it off of mizbeach. And then in addition, we had a five-way machlokas amaroyim, which kinds of things of korbanos this din applies to. So now let's talk about a specific one of the psulim that we said was where the korban was shechted at night. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda had said that that's one of the three that he says that the korban would even be taken off from his back, even if it was placed on there, and Rav Shimon had disagreed. So now in this connection, a related din. At the end of the Masechta, we're going to be dealing with the last two prokhim of our Masechta deal in a lot of detail with the din of how of Shechita b'chutz and Halah b'chutz. The Torah tells us in Parashas Achrim, you're not allowed to shecht kodshim outside the Azara. You're not allowed to offer them outside the Azara. A person does a Chayav Kodesh. So the last two prokhim of our Masechta deal in great detail with those din. So now, here's a din related to that, which is also related to shechting the korban at night. If a person were to shecht an animal of a korban inside the Azara by night, you have a few words over here in the Gemara, Hamala b'chutz potter b'chutz, but they're in parenthesis and they don't belong. Rashi doesn't have them for one. So Hamala b'chutz b'hema b'vayla b'fnim, person shechts an animal inside the Azara by night, the hela b'chutz, and then he goes and takes that animal that he shechted and offers it outside the Beis Hamikdash, chayev, then he's going to be chayev kodesh. So if it was b'shogeg, he'll be chayev a korban chatos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's even im olu yodu, and it doesn't even have to do with the mizbeach. So with the things im olu lo yodu, then there's no chiddush in that. The rule is going to be, we're going to have, when we start discussing that, we've touched on it a few times in the Masechta, is the rule is anything that's royally scabble b'fnim, anything that's suitable to be accepted as a korban inside the azara, then if a person offers it outside the azara, he's chayev. But here we're saying, according to Yehuda, this particular thing is not even Rory Lovel with him. Nevertheless, it's still enough to make him chayev, because Rabbi Yechanan says, like to hit Pusa, Mishochet Bachutz and Mala Bachutz, because it should be no less of a chiyuv where if he shechted the korban to begin with outside the Azara, and then offered outside the Azara, then he's also chayev. Meaning, in other words, exactly that. If he shechts the korban outside the Azara, then it's possible, by definition. And yet, we don't say that then it's not royally scabble b'fnim, and now if he goes and offers it, then nothing happens. So if Reuven shechts it and Shimon offers it, or Reuven himself does both of them, b'shnei ha'alemus, nevertheless, we're going to learn, when we learn about it, in the next to last parak, that he is, in fact, chayev for both. A separate chiyuv for the shechita and a separate for the halah. Well, by the same token over here, even though it is true, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the korban is possible, having been shechted, everybody agrees it's possible, shechted by night. Rabbi Yehuda says it's so possible that in olo yered, nevertheless, he still can be chayev for offering it outside the Azara. Tosfos points out that the Gemara is specifically talking about over here, Rabbi Yochanan, and is talking specifically according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Shimon, you don't need anyway. According to Rabbi Shimon, given that he holds that in Olo Yered, then already it is royally scabble of him. It is something that conceivably could go on the Mizbeach. And therefore, according to the rule we've been saying so far, he would be chayav for it. But the Chiddush is here according to Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Mosi Rechia Ba'ovin. So Rechia Ba'ovin says, I have a contradiction. We learn in a Braisa later in the Masechta, Hashoichet Oifuchnim, if a person shechts a bird korban inside the Azara, Omala Bachotz, and then he offered it outside the Azara, Potter, then he's Potter for that offering it, because not Roy Lovi Bifnim, because to be Roy Lovi Bifnim, there would have had to be Malika done, and here we did Shechita instead. Now, why? based on Rabbi Yochanan's logic, why should it be? In fact, Shitvuk Vetis adds the word Vamai. Why should he be potter? Name Eloi to Hitchot Meshechot Mala Bachutz. Shouldn't we say that it's just by Rabbi Yochanan's logic, it should be no less than the case where he shechts an animal inside the Azara by night, and then he offers, or where he shechts it to the plow, and then offers it, where he shechts it and offers it outside the Azara, where we just said that he is chayav for the offering as well, even though the shechting already made it possible. So the same thing over here. What's the difference? If he shechted it inside, true, it's brewed and it's supposed to have malika done here, but by the same logic as Rabbi Yochanan is saying, as far as where it was shechted by night, where we don't care about the fact that it was the shritta, therefore passeled it. Nevertheless, it's still to, it's, and even though it's not roi to go on the Mizbeach according to the Yehuda at all, nevertheless, we still say that he is chayav for it because it should be no less than the case when he shechts outside. Well, then, why if a person shechts the bird inside, would we not say the same thing? So the Gemara says, you're right, that braisa is a contradiction on Rabbi Yochanan. However, the Gemara says he boys sema, but if you want, I can say. Sometimes the Gemara will do this. Sometimes the Gemara will give it tshuvta, a contradiction to an amurda, and then later on it'll point out, you know what, after all, we do have a way of salvaging what the amurda said. We could say, he boys sema, so you could say, shchita so'ifnim mikto katle, because you could say, when you shechted a bird inside the azara, then it's bechlal, shchita is not shayach by birds at all, neither by cholin nor by kodshin. As opposed to you shechted an animal by night, the fact is it is a perfectly kosher shchita, and if it were cholin it would be fine. So only by kodshim are we saying that it's called a shchita psula. But when it comes to birds that you don't have, there's no such thing as shechting birds in the azara ever, neither cholin nor kodshim. So therefore we could say that the Mishnah is saying that once it was shechted with nim, that it's completely out of the picture, and therefore now later on going and offering that bird outside the azara won't make him chayiv kores or achatas. But it's different with shchita by night. So that's according to Rashi. Tosfos states it somewhat differently, that we don't find the concept, we don't ever find that a bird should be shechted bifnim. So therefore it's basically the equivalent of just chopping off its head, unlike shchita by night, which was a valid shchita. Shchita Mukhubetzes, in fact, brings on Rashi that the fact is that if you're going to say that it's a matter of that, if you're going to say it's a matter of that it's not kosher by cholin, the fact is shchita is kosher by a bird by cholin, just not in the azara. So therefore, but Tosfos is saying therefore that we're focusing specifically on pnim, specifically inside the azara. There's no such thing as shechting a bird. As opposed to, there is such a thing as shechting a korban, and here it was just done by night, which is kind of a side thing. Okay. Next, the Gemara says, Omer Ola, a murik, let's get back to this topic of in Olu Lo Yerdu, a murik kodshim kalim shehelon lifnei zrikas domon. If you brought up the emurim of kodshim kalim onto the mizbeach before you sprinkled their blood. Now, with kodshim, now the difference is with Kodshei Kodshim, the Emurim are considered to belong to Hashem to begin with. Really, by Kodshei Kodshim, fundamentally the whole Korban belongs to Hashem, and just when it comes to most Kodshim, when it comes to Chatois and Hashomers and other such, then Hashem grants the Kohenim a portion of it to eat. When it comes to Kodshim Kalim, we often say that the Emurim are, so the Emurim are not really considered Chelek Gavoya, they're not really considered Hashem's portion until the blood of the Korban is sprinkled. Nevertheless, says Ola, if you put the Emurim on the Mizbeach before Zrichas Damim, Lo Yodu, you still don't take them down. Even though, now on Omid Beis, we're going to talk about the point that at this point, Me'ilah doesn't even apply to them yet. Me'ilah applies to Kodshei Kodshim from when you were Makdash them, but with Kodshim Kalim, it does not. Kodshim Kalim, Me'ilah only kicks in only after the blood is sprinkled, then Me'ilah is, then the Emurim are subject to Me'ilah. So here you have the Emurim are not even yet subject to Me'ilah because you didn't sprinkle the blood yet. Nevertheless, you still, says Ula, you would leave those emurim on the Mizbeach, nasu lachmesh on Mizbeach, because at this point they're considered the food of the Mizbeach. In other words, they were placed on the Mizbeach, and you follow the rule of him Ola lo yodu. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Zera afanan nami tanena. So Rav Zera says, in fact, we have a braisa that bears out that point. We learned yesterday in a brisa, shenishbach dama, a case where the blood of the korban was spilled, v'shiyotza dama chutzla kloyim, or where the blood was taken out of the kloyim, out of the azara. Nevertheless, we said that. That such korbanis im olu lo yodu. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that brisa is referring to both kodesh kodeshim and kodeshim kavanah. So, says Reb Zeira, ma hosam di imbo lizrik ein lo lizrik. Now, in the case where the blood was spilled, after all, if he wanted to sprinkle the blood, there's nothing to sprinkle because it's spilled, and still amarta, and still we're saying, imbo lo yodu. You're still saying that this is one of those cases of imbo lo yodu, even though you have nothing to sprinkle for the carbon. Haha, so in our case, the imbo lizrik, after all, if he were to sprinkle the blood after the imurim go up onto the Zeach, Zerik, then he could sprinkle it. The blood didn't become possible by putting the imurim up there, like Koshekin, how much more so that we should say im olu lo yodu, and we should leave those in murim on the mizbeach. Tosfos discusses a little earlier that in fact this point is even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda had said over there that if a blood was spilled, is one of those cases im olu lo yodu. But the difference is because it's spilled, you can't sprinkle it anymore. Here the blood is available, and therefore even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's fine to that you should leave those in murim on the mizbeach. Achronim discussed the question, what about, does this mean that he should leave the Emurim Davka if afterwards he sprinkled the blood, or would it be, even if he didn't, for whatever reason, end up sprinkling the blood, nevertheless, we would still say, we would still leave the Emurim on the mizbeach. So Reb Zeira says, so you see from that Braisa, assuming that that Braisa is talking about both Kodshe Kodshim and Kodshim Chalim, then you see a proof for what Ola is saying. The Sfasemis actually has a different understanding of the Gemara, not Sfasemis, the Radal, or Rab David Luria, the famous Goren, who lived in the time of the Tzemach Tzedek. He has a whole different explanation of the Sugya. Reb Zeira is not so much bringing proof to Ullah, he's rather asking, so well, then what's the Chiddush in what Ullah is saying, given that we can see it very clearly from a Braisa. And so according to the regular explanation, then the Gemara is going to answer the Braisa as not necessarily a proof, and we're going to go back and forth like that. But according to the Radal, now it's the other way around. We're saying that what's the chiddush in what Ula is saying? Isn't it a braisa? And the answer is it is a chiddush because in fact you could learn the braisa differently. So the Gemara says no, Tilgamah Kodshei Kodshim, because you could say the braisa is talking only about Kodshei Kodshim, where they have their emurim have kedusha and me'ila does apply to them even before the blood is sprinkled. So now you put them on the mizbeach and they olu lo yodu. But Kodshim Kalim, maybe not necessarily. So there's not necessarily a proof that this braisa is talking about Ula's case. So the Gemara asks, but the Braisa continues by talking about the case of the Braisa had mentioned a number of psulim, and one of them was, as we said, a Pesach or a Chatos that was shechted Shaloi Lishma, whereas we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, those Korbanos Apostle. So the question is, Harei Pesach to Kodshim Kalavu, one of the things mentioned in that Braisa, one of the psulim that we said in Olu Lo Yodu, was the Pesach, which is Kodshim Kalim, and the same rule applies to the same rule applies to a emurim as to the emurim of any kodshim talim. They only are subject to me'ila after the blood is sprinkled. It's true that the korban pesach has this unique feature that b'shechtet shaloi l'shma. It's possible, but that's neither here nor there. The Gemara is assuming as far as the matter of olu lo yodu. So the Pesach is Kodshim Kalim, and the Braisa still lists that in the category of Olu Lo Yodu. So therefore, that should be a proof for what Ola is saying, that even if you put the Braisa was talking about various cases, among them Shenishba Hadam, where the blood was spilled, or Yotza Dam Chutz Lakloyim, and the various other ones that we said. But now, Ola is saying, even if the blood has not yet been applied to the Mizbeach, and then they put the emurim on the mizbeach. You still say olu lo yodu. So now we seem to have a proof from that braisa because it does mention the korban pesach in that context. So the answer is no, because tilgum of shaloi l'shma. Because you could say that the braisa is din about that if the korban pesach is possible im olu lo yodu, is specifically where the soul is shaloi l'shma. So then we would say that the emurim are still considered to have enough of a connection with the mizbeach that im olu lo yodu, but not necessarily in the case where the blood was spilled or not yet sprinkled before the emurim was offered. Maybe not necessarily. Maybe in fact you would take them off the mizbeach. The point would be, in other words, that the point would be, and Shitim Kubetzis brings Rashi as saying this, that even though it is true that a Korban Pesach, that Shalor L'Shmoyer is possible, nevertheless, this sprinkling of the blood of it has enough of an effect to make that the Emurim are now considered the portion of the Mizbeach. But now, in other words, now, whether they get a status of Me'ilah or not is a different question, and we're going to take that back up on our days, but at any rate, that at least they're considered to that extent to belong to the Mizbeach, that he Olo Lo Yerdu. Okay. So the Gemara says, fine. So we don't yet have a proof for what Ula is saying. We tried from that Braisa. We said not necessarily, because the Braisa is maybe talking only about Kodshim, or the Korban Pesach, where it was shechted, specifically where it was shechted Shalor L'Shmoyer. Again, according to the Radal, the flow of the Gemara would be the other way around. The Gemara was trying to show that what Ula is saying is already explained in a Braisa, and the answer is it's not, because the Braisa is not necessarily referring to Ula's case. So now the Gemara says, Tanan. Well, let's look at back at our Mishnah. We said, all kinds of animals, we talked yesterday, whether we're talking specifically psulim, whether we're talking about psulim and kshedim, anyway, that all of them, if they were brought up alive to Mizbeach, Yerudu, then we take them off the Mizbeach. Then we should take them off the Mizbeach. Now the implication is, the implication is that if we shechted them, then we should not take them off the Mizbeach. My love, loishin or kodshe kodshim, loishin or kodshim kalim. Now, on the face of it, it doesn't matter whether kodshe kodshim or kodshim kalim. Either way, the din would be, once they're shechted, we leave them on the Mizbeach. Well, that would be all his point then. That if they murim were placed on the Mizbeach before the Zrikas Adam, even so we're saying, as long as they were shechted, we didn't make the distinction whether the blood was sprinkled, we just said whether they were alive or not, implying as soon as they're shechted, then b'dieved they can be placed on the Mizbeach. The Gemara is also assuming at this point that we're talking specifically about the Kshedim, we're not talking about the Psulim and saying that if the Psulim were brought up alive onto the Mizbeach, the ones that we mentioned, as far as the Rashi explains, none of those, in fact, are applicable when the animal is alive. By definition, all of those things happen only after the animal is dead. Where it was shechted by night, or it was shechted Shalor L'Shmoyer, or psulim, did Kabbalah Saddam, or whatever, all those different things apply only after the animal has been shechted. Therefore, we have every reason to assume that the part of the Mishnah that says that we leave them on the Mizbeach, when they're shechted, would apply to kosher korbanos. And again, we would assume that it means kosher kodshim or kodshim kalim. So the Gemara says, no, loy, not necessarily is that the correct inference. You could say what we can infer from the Mishnah, if the animal was alive, we never leave it on the Mizbeach. We always take it down from there and sheft it, because as we said, an animal if alive is not yet something that belongs on the Mizbeach. Even though, as we talked yesterday, Tosfa says we go nice, and maybe you would be able to sheft it on the Mizbeach, but nevertheless, it's not yet considered in the category of something that should belong on the Mizbeach unrestrictedly. We're not yet going to call it a Roy Lagabe Mizbeach, as we discussed yesterday, and therefore we're not going to leave it on the Mizbeach. So that's when the animal is alive. We're never going to leave it on the Mizbeach. But the implication would be, when the korban is shechted, not always is it a given that we're going to leave it on the Mizbeach. Mehen yerdu, or mehen yerdu, mehen lo yerdu. Some of them indeed are going to be taken off the Mizbeach, and some of them are not. Namely, the distinction is going to be that kodshim kalim will stay on the Mizbeach, because even though the blood hasn't been sprinkled yet, they already have their kedusha, and therefore they remain on the Mizbeach, whereas kodshim kalim will not. So you don't necessarily have a proof from this Mishnah for all of them. If you assume that it's talking about kodshim and kodshim kalim, then sure, but you don't necessarily have that proof. So Mark says, well, kulam kotani, but it says all of them should mean all kinds of korbanos. And the answer is no, kulam achayim. No, because the word kulam may refer to all the living animals. So any animal, any korban of any type, kodshe kodshim or kodshim kalim, that was brought up onto the Mizbeach alive, then we're going to say that doesn't stay on the Mizbeach, and you take it off and shecht it on the ground like it's supposed to. But not necessarily is the kulam referring to the case where they were shechted, because maybe indeed that refers only to kodshe kodshim, whereas kodshim kalim, maybe we wouldn't say like Ola and say maybe we wouldn't say like Ola, and we would in fact say that if the blood hasn't been sprinkled yet, then Kodesh and Kalim don't yet belong on the Mizbeach because they're Emurim and have not yet become Chelek Zavoya. Because, for example, they're not subject to Me'ilah yet. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Well, isn't that obvious? That we already learned at the beginning of the sixth parak that such things don't stay on the mizbeach. That we said if it was brought up kodesh mishchach and b'roish mizbeach, if you shecht it on top of the mizbeach, then fine, then you have the dinim of what you do, but not that you should do it l'chatchila that way. And in any case, what's the problem anyway? If you're going to take, Rashi points out, actually, the Peshitta is a deer. So what I just said is actually from the Mitzvah Esan in the back of the Gemara. Rashi over here, it explains differently that no, the Peshitta is, what's the problem? It's a kosher animal we're talking about. You'll bring it off the Mizbeach, you'll shecht it, and then you'll bring it onto the Mizbeach like normal. So why shouldn't we, why should we think to leave it on top of the Mizbeach? So therefore, if the Mishnah is saying kolon, just to tell us that both kodshim and kodshim chalim have this rule that once they, if they go up onto the mizbeach alive, you take them down from there, what's the chiddush? So the Gemara says, nevertheless, la'olam achayim, the fact is, nevertheless, we can say that the word v'cholon does refer to all the living animals, but we're not talking, as you assumed all this time, that we're talking about specifically kosher animals for korbanos. No, v'dukin shabayin, because we're talking about where the animal has dukin shabayin. Dukin shabayin, where we mentioned earlier in the Masechta, literally means the film over the eye. So it means, in other words, that Rashi in a couple of places in Shas explains that it means either that the animal has a mum in its eyelid. Or that it means that it has a cataract. Whatever the case, the point is that kind of mum, v'alibah de Rabbi Akiva. Now, we learned in our Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva had said that bali mumim can stay on the mizbeach in Ola lo yodu. The Gemara is going to explain on Amud Beis that Rabbi Akiva is talking specifically about dukin shaba'ayin and maybe other minor mumim in that context. Things that, as the Gemara is going to explain on Amud Beis, are not considered a mum by birds for korbanos, only by animals. Well then, he says that if such animals are brought up onto the Mizbeach, then you don't take them down, because since it's not considered a mum relative to birds, then it's not considered such a serious mum by animals that we should say in Olu that we should take it off the Mizbeach. Well, therefore, so our Mishnah, when it says the chulon sha'olu chayim, if any of them went up alive onto the mizbeach, so it doesn't have to mean kodshim kalim. Maybe in fact kodshim kalim, as even after they're shechted, you don't bring up onto the mizbeach because, and if you do, then you take them down until zirkas adam. But when it comes to all living animals, whether they're kshedim or even if they're bali mumim and they have dukin shabayin, nevertheless, you still take them off the mizbeach. Now, with the kasherim, you could say, like Rashi says, fine, because that's not a big deal. You'll take them off the mizbeach, and you'll be machr with them, and then you'll shech them, you'll do whatever, and then you'll put them back, and then you'll put the appropriate parts back on the mizbeach. Bali mumin, you're not going to do that after all. I mean, Rabbi Akiva is saying that if you put them on the mizbeach, you don't take them off, but even he agrees you don't put them there with a pillar. So by bali mumin, you could say, well, maybe if the animal went up there, and according to Rabbi Akiva, maybe you should leave it up there and shecht it there, because otherwise, what are you going to do? Take it off the Mizbeach. It's never going to come back up onto the Mizbeach, and therefore you're violating the rule of Mola Lo Yodu. Nevertheless, the Braisa has to be telling us that that's not so, and if it went up alive, then this whole rule does not apply. Take it off the Mizbeach. Aye, it's a Baal Mum, and that means it's never going to go back up. We don't care. So that's that. That explanation is all according to Rashi. Sfasemis brings a different explanation that he explains that actually that when that this whole thing that we're talking about that in Olu Lo Yodu, so he brings from the Rambam that what it means is that when an animal was shechted and it's kosher, then you're also to take it off the mizbeach. In Olu Lo Yodu doesn't just mean you shouldn't take it off; it means you're not allowed to take it off. So the Gemara knew to begin with, says the Sfasemis, that all along we're talking with Psulim. But the Gemara says, yeah, of course, the Mizbeach is not the Kaddish Korbanos, that apostle that went up there alive. It was not Psulim Nachrobish. So the implication must be that they're never taken off, even when they're shut, when they're shut in, even before Zwicka, and then that would be what Ola said. But the Gemara says no, because the Pesul is Dukin Shabayin, and therefore pointed out Kibbut and Mizbeach is Mekadosh after Shita. So now you would think that maybe it's Mekadosh them while they're alive, and then we're saying that no, if it's alive, then that rule doesn't apply. And again, we don't care the fact that the Mizbeach is not in fact Mekadosh it. It can only be Mekadosh them after they're shefted, and therefore in this case, take it off the Mizbeach. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Mayu kibta the psulin." So what have you explained? What have you shtel dain that the Mishnah is talking about when the animal went up alive to the mizbeach is talking about specifically by psulin? Because you're saying by kshedim, there's no chiddush in it. You would in fact take them off the mizbeach, but no big deal because you will shortly be putting them back onto the mizbeach. Ema sefer, but look at the next part of the Mishnah. The chen oila she also chayav roshem mizbeach. The same way if an oila was went up alive to the top of the Mizbeach, Tevid, then you still take it down from the Mizbeach. Shocht of the Rosh HaMizbeach, but if you shechted it on top of the Mizbeach, Yapshit Minatech B'mekoyma, then you strip off the skin and you cut up the animal where it is, because otherwise you shouldn't be taking it off the Mizbeach. Now, the question is, Yipsula, if you're telling me the Mishnah is talking about an animal that's fossil, so what Bas Hefshet Minituachim, since when do you do Hefshet Minituach with it? Sure, it went up onto the Mizbeach, you shechted it, but now you realize it's a Balmum, even Dukin Shabayin, what are you doing? Doing Hefshet Minituach. The Nitzach Oysa Omer Achmona, the Torah says that you should cut it up, the Oila, and from that we learn the word Oysa is a mere, Shade of Lipsula. You do hepshit v'nituach only to an animal, only to a korban that is kosher, not to one that is posel. So there wouldn't be. In fact, Rashi brings from Torah's Koyanim. If the korban becomes posel before you strip off the skin, then you just burn it in the azara. So fine, the animal went up alive to the top of the mizbeach. Let's say fine, the mizbeach was mekadosh it. So fine, while it was alive, you should have taken it down. But let's say you didn't, you went and shechted it on top of the mizbeach. Fine, the mizbeach gave it kedusha. But now, at this point, when we realize that it's hustle because it's got a mum, at that point we would stop things right there. We'd take it off the mizbeach, burn it in the azara, and that's that. What hepshit v'nituach? So the answer is, so wouldn't that mean, therefore, of necessity, the Mishnah has to be talking about shade? And the Gemara says, you're right, Sefer Asal Mekshera. Fine, that's safer when it talks about that if it was shechted, then you strip off the skin and put it up in its place on top of the Mizbeach. That one is talking specifically about a kosher animal. So the flow of the Mishnah would be like this. If any of them went up alive to the Mizbeach, any of them meaning Kshedim or Psulim, then you take them off the Mizbeach. Kshedim, we say, because fine, they'll go back up anyway. Psulim, because the fact is the Mizbeach was not Mekadosh them when they were alive, even though it's only a minor Mum Dukin Shabai. But now, the Mishnah continues, if an Ola went alive up to the Mizbeach, then Tered, and that again would apply to a whether Tomim or Bal Mum, if you shechted it on top of the Mizbeach, and it is a Tomim, and there's no problem with it, then Yapshut and Natech B'mekoyma, then you need to strip off the skin and cut it up over there instead of taking it off the Mizbeach. Well, the Gemara says, "My Kamash Malon." Well, in that case, what is the chiddush of that part of the Mishnah? And the answer is exactly that: Yesh Hefshit Minituach, the Rosh HaMizbeach. Exactly that it is possible to do Hefshit Minituach on top of the Mizbeach. Even though now you could argue, what's the problem? Again, it's a kosher animal. Why not take it off the Mizbeach and do the processing of it in the Beis HaMikdashim as you usually would, and then bring the parts of it up onto the Mizbeach? Nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying that you don't need to do that. Tosfos discusses the point if it was brought up onto the Mizbeach and it was shechted there, then fine. We're saying there is Hefshet Minituach on the top of the Mizbeach. When it was done, so the question would be, rather, when the animal is Lamata, can we bring it up? So according to Rashi, in other words, the point of the Gemara is that once it was shechted on top of the Mizbeach, we do go ahead and do the Hefshet Minituach on top of the Mizbeach. You don't have to take it down. But according to Rabbeinu Chaim and Tosfos, rather, what the Gemara is saying is that if you shechted it on the floor like you're supposed to, would you be allowed to bring it up onto the Mizbeach to do the Hefshet v'nituach? And the answer is that you could do that. So, and he explains the flow of the Gemara accordingly. The Rambam also learns, in fact, that if the korban was shechted on top of the mizbeach, it's not even a matter of, like Rashi says, you don't have to take it off for the hefshin or yitzhak. The Rambam learns, the Chofetz Chaim brings in Zevach Toida, that you would have to keep it on top of the mizbeach and do the hefshin for yitzhak there. So that would be the chiddush of our Mishnah. All right, the Gemara says, what about, though, there is an opinion that says that you don't do hefshit v'nitzurach on top of the mizbeach? So according to that, you always have to take it. According to that way of looking at it, you always have to take it off the mizbeach. And according to Rashi, the vote is, in other words, that because it's not derech eretz, since you could do it on the floor, you could do it in the basement behind, why should you do it on top of the mizbeach? So according to that opinion, why is the Mishnah saying that in this case where the animal was shechted on top of the mizbeach, then you should do the hefshit v'nituach, on top of the mizbeach? So again, this is where Tosfos points out that what the Gemara is asking is that according to this opinion, then what could the Mishnah be talking about? Can't be talking about Kshedim, because you're not supposed to do the Hefshet V'nitruach on top of the Mizbeach. Can't be talking about Psulim, because we said by Psulim, there is no Hefshet V'nitruach. And the answer would be that the Macholkus would be, if you should, the Macholkus of Hefshet V'nitruach, Rosh HaMizbeach, would be whether you're allowed to, Lachatchila, take it up there and do Hefshet V'nitruach on top, where one opinion says yes, and one opinion says no, and then the Gemara is asking accordingly, about what the chiddush of the Mishnah is and how that would fit with Ula's din. So the Gemara answer is Hocha Maya Skin, because the Mishnah could be talking about not where it had a mum, where the korban had a period of being kosher, and then it became possible. So now what happened, in other words? So it went up onto the Mizbeach alive, it's still kosher. Then he shechted it on top of the Mizbeach, which fine, we're saying he wasn't supposed to have done. Then he sprinkled the blood, and after that it became possible. So now, if we take it off the mizbeach, it's not going to be put back on the mizbeach, because at this point it's possible. So at this point, then the Mishnah is saying, leave it on the mizbeach. Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, namely, then our Mishnah would be like Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, d'amar kivin shenizrak adam b'kashrus. He says, once the blood was sprinkled, and the korban was still kosher at that point, v'hurtza b'asr shah achas, and you had, therefore the meat was acceptable to be burnt on the mizbeach, for even a short time, then even if afterwards it became possible, yakshitena, then you still do the hefshit, for oda la koyanim, and the skin of it goes to the koyanim. We're going to talk about later on in the 12th perek of our Masechta that what happens with the skins of the various korbanos, in particular the skins of kodshim go to the koyanim. The pasuk mentions in connection with the ola. We're going to discuss it in the 12th perek, that's the shem, in connection with other korbanos. Now, the basic rule over there is if the korban is kosher, then the skin goes to the kohenim, and if not, then it does not, then the skin is burnt together with the rest of the posel of korban. Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon is saying over here, even if the korban became posel, that as long as the blood was sprinkled and the korban was still kosher, then nevertheless the skin still goes to the kohenim. Well, by the same token then, so now the korban was shechted on top of the mizbeach, which fine, they shouldn't have done that, but they did. Now they did the zrikas adam. Now though, this animal became posel. Now the korban somehow became posel. For example, the blood was sprinkled already, and then let's say, for example, the rest of the korban became tomei or something. Now, if we were to take it off the mizbeach, we're not going to bring it back up. Therefore, at this point, we'll do the hefshet v'nitruach on top of the mizbeach. But if it were a kosher korban, then not necessarily. We could, in fact, according to that way of looking at it, according to the opinion, ain hefshet v'nitruach v'rosh mizbeach, we should take it off the mizbeach, do the avoda of it, do the cutting up and the everything in the base of the b'chaim as usual, and then fine, we'll bring it back up to the mizbeach as we're supposed to. Okay. So the Gemara says, so far, in other words, we're saying that again, the part of the Mishnah that had mentioned where they went up alive to the Mizbeach is talking about whether Kshedin or Psulim. The part that says that if the Ola went up there then and you shechted it, then Yakshit Renatach the Mekoma is talking specifically about where the Korban is kosher. If we say yes, hefshin v'nitruach v'rosh hamizbeach, then it's across the board always. As long as the korban is kosher, then we'll do that. As opposed to if it's possible, there's no need to do the hefshin v'nitruach. If we're saying that you shouldn't do hefshin v'nitruach on top of the mizbeach, then we're talking about in a unique case where it became possible after the zrika, where now if we take it off the mizbeach, we're not going to put it back on, and therefore that opinion agrees that we should leave it on top of the mizbeach and do the hefshin v'nitruach there. All right, you want to ask Ve'ela V'Katoni, but in a Braisa explaining our Mishnah, it explains what do you do, Ketzad Oisa. So what do you do in this case where the animal was shechted on top of the Mizbeach, and where the animal was shechted on top of the Mizbeach. So then the our Mishnah said, Yafshif and Atef and Mekayma, that you're supposed to then strip off the skin and cut it up in its place. So now the Braisa continues, Ketzad Oisa. So what does he do? Murdas and Provine Mamalta. He takes the kishkis down off the Mizbeach, and he rinses them out, because in general the kishkis of an animal are always going to have waste in them, so before they're going to do anything with them, they have to clean them out. In fact, you have there's a portion of that is even Dotha Shabbos. We find when it comes to the Korban Pesach, the Shech and the Korban Pesach itself, which takes place even on Shabbos, there are certain avodas of it that are considered extremely essential, and those can also, one of them is at least doing something with the kishkis to prevent them from spoiling over the rest of Shabbos. They're not cleaning them out completely, but at least the Gemara explains that they were removing the inner mucus layer and then whatever. Anyway, the point is that we see that is one of the point things that has to be done with the carbon is to rinse out the kishkis. So he does that. So now the question is lomali. So now the question is, what do we need to do that? If we're talking about a possible carbon. And we said that if we said according to this way of looking at it, it's a puzzle. And if we take it off the Mizbeach, we're never going to bring it up again. Then why are we taking these emorim and rinsing them out? So the gives the lomali. There's a few different gears stories over here. That the question is, if you take it off the Mizbeach, then you're not going to bring it back up again. Shitim Kubetzes has the gears of the Heishi Motzi Masik Lahu. How could he bring them back up onto the Mizbeach? So why? So Gemara says, well, what do you want? Hechi nevin. So what are you supposed to do otherwise? Nakrivinu b'par taihu. Should we offer them on the Mizbeach? Should we leave them on the Mizbeach with the waste in them and offer them on the Mizbeach that way? As the Pasuk says, akrivehu nolach tafasecha. Offer it to you, governor, if you would. Hayut sefal yahi misa panecha. Would he accept you or would he show you any favor? The Navi, Malachi, it's that Torah of Parshas told us, the Navi, Malachi, is criticizing Jews of his time where they're thinking that we can get away with any kind of korban, even if it's very scrawny and repulsive and whatever. And Malachi tells them, imagine if you were to offer such an animal to your governor, then he wouldn't be pleased by it. Allah is kind of a kama, you can't offer such a thing to Hashem. So the Gemara uses it all over the place as an example of that we have something that's not acceptable to a boss of a dumb, certainly wouldn't be acceptable to Hashem. Well, a boss of a dumb is not going to accept a murim that are given to him with the kishkis that are given to him with the waste inside. So of course you have to rinse them out. So what's the question? So the Gemara says, you're right, anan hachikam rinan, rather what the question was, medichan lamali. Fine, we understand that you can't just leave them on the Mizbeach and burn them with the waste in them, but why are you rinsing them out? You're anyway not going to be able to put them back on the Mizbeach. So you may as well. So what are you going to do with them? So why do you need to spend the time rinsing them out? And the Gemara answers, because suppose another Koyan comes along, and he doesn't know that these kishkis come from a posel of korban, naskinu, then he'll go and offer them on the Mizbeach. In other words, the verdict is, they're not entirely posel yet. There is a certain degree of kashrus to them. So therefore, the Shittim Kubetzes points out, we anyway can't burn them right away. We anyway need what's called Ibrut Sura that we've talked about before. You have to leave them until they become posel or until they spoil, as the case may be. So between now and then we may as well rinse them out. And if it happens that a Kohen offers them on the Mizbeach, then good, he's offered them and that's that. What are you telling me? We should deliberately do something that should bring the Kohenim to do something wrong? If these kishkis are from apostle or korban, you shouldn't be bringing them on the Mizbeach. Fine, but they were already taken off the Mizbeach to be rinsed off. Another Kohen is going to think like a chiller that they're kosher and go and be makrev them. How are you being makshal another Kohen like that? There is a point, the Mitzvah Eisan makes a point that the Gemara says in a number of places, Koyinim is risen haim, and that means the Koyinim will tell one another what's going on. So we're talking about over here in Isser, so the Gemara will use that in other places, for example, where it's only a question of not being makrif something after the Talmud Shabbat HaBayim, so then we can rely on the Koyinim will inform one another that the Korban Talmud Shabbat HaBayim has already been brought. But here we're talking about being makrif apostle, and we certainly don't want to, we certainly don't want to leave any room for that. And therefore, the Gemara is asking, how could we mislead the Kohenim like that and allow them to make such a mistake? And the answer is, I feel a hockey adifa. Nevertheless, it's still better to rinse out these kishkes, shaloyu kodsh shemaim mutalim kinevela, because you don't want the kodsh Hashem. After all, this was a korban, even though it's possible now, but you don't want that they should just be lying there like a dead animal, just the kishkes with the waste inside them. So at least as out of respect for the korbanos, then at least you shouldn't be the zoyim kodshim. Then you should rinse them out first. Fine, you can't burn them right away again because there's not necessarily the kind of psul that would require them to be burned right away. But nevertheless, they do need ibud surah. But therefore, because of that, we should rinse them out. If that means that therefore later on a kohen is going to come across them and say, wait, these are emurim. Why are we not offering them on the mizbeach? And he goes ahead and offers them. Okay, not the worst thing in the world. In this connection, by the way, about cleaning out the kishkes, you have the famous mashal that's brought involving the story involving the Tsar and the Kaiser of Germany who were relatives. So one time the Kaiser visits Russia and they serve him kishke and he loves it and he asks for the recipe. Later on he has his cooks try out the recipe and they bring it to the table and it smells awful and it tastes worse. And so the Kaiser writes to the Tsar, your cooks did something wrong. They gave me the recipe wrong. It came out horrible. To make a long story short, it turns out the cooks had not put in the first instruction because they figured it's so obvious. Before you make the kishke, and we're talking about the old style kishke that was made from the actual kishke of an animal, you have to clean it out first of the waste in it. So they didn't even think to write that because it was so obvious. So it's brought as a nimshol. Mashpiyim would bring it as a nimshol by Fabrangans. The same way, you want to fill yourself up. You want to stuff yourself with all the nice filling and stuffing and delicious things of Hasidus. Make sure that you're not a dirty kishke first. Make sure you clean yourself out of what needs to be cleaned out. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Yechanan asks the following question. Again, we're talking about these. We talked about it on what Aleph. He said all this din about the emurim of kodshim kalim that were brought up onto mizbeach before the zrifas adam. We said Ola had said you leave them on the mizbeach because they become lachmish on mizbeach. We went through this whole sugya now, discussing back and forth, trying to bring proofs or counterproofs for or against Ola, and we haven't contradicted him. So now in this connection, Rabbi Yochanan asks, Emurim kodshim kalim shehelam lifnei zrikas damam. These Emurim that were brought up onto Mizbeach before the zrikas adam. Yehudu or lo Yehudu? So here's the question. Do we take them off or do we not take them off? Do we follow what Ola says or not? Why are you asking about in Olu Yehudu, in Olu lo Yehudu? Why don't you ask whether Me'ilah applies to them? Me'ilah does not apply, like we said before, by Emurim of Kodshim Kalim, does not apply until the blood has been sprinkled. So why don't you ask in this case? So in this case, where they were already placed on the Mizbeach, maybe does Me'ilah apply to them because maybe they have enough Kedusha by having been placed on the Mizbeach, that Me'ilah should now take effect as well. Amalei, so Rabbi Yechanan answers, no, Me'ilah lo kamei bayili. No, when it comes to Me'ilah, I have no question. The Zrika who to Kabbalah who be Me'ilah. The fact is, it's the Zrika that establishes that Me'ilah applies, and as long as no Zrika has been done, then there's not going to be Me'ilah. So that I know. Keep coming by, Yerida. My question is only as far as Yim'olo lo Yerdu. Oh, Poshit, Rabbi Yechanan ended up answering the question, lo Yerdu, you don't take them all from Mizbeach, like Ola had said, because they are lach mishom Mizbeach. They ain't behem Me'ilah. However, Me'ilah does not apply to them because Me'ilah applies only when the blood is sprinkled. Achronim talk about that these two points seem to contradict each other because shouldn't they go together? Once the whole point is that the Me'ilah applies once it's Chelek Gavoya, once it's designated as Hashem's portion, well, when it's placed on the Mizbeach and it becomes Lachmish on Mizbeach, then it becomes Hashem's portion, so Me'ilah should apply. Why is Rabbi Yochanan saying inconsistently? So Achronim talk about Lomdish answers that even according to the opinion that Yodu is not because they're not Kodshim, but just because you don't have, it's not Chelek Gavoya yet. So therefore, so you can say it's not really Chelek Gavoya, and therefore you can say, so even according to the opinion that Lo Yodu, nevertheless, it's not totally considered Chelek Gavoya, and therefore Me'ilah wouldn't apply. So when you sprinkle the blood, then when you sprinkle the blood, then the ilah will apply. That was one version of how the discussion went. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Masni Hachim. Rav Nachman Yitzchok said that that went as follows. Amar Rav Chiya Ba'aba, Boi Rav Yechanan, in Rav Nachman Yitzchok's version, Rav Chiya Ba'aba quotes Rav Yechanan as asking, Emure Kodshin Kalam Shehelam, Lefnei Zrikas Daman, if he brought the Emurim up before the Zrika, Yesh Behen Me'ila Oiloi, does Me'ila apply or not? So in the first version, he asked whether we Olo Yerudu, we Olo La Yerudu. He knew for a fact that Me'ila doesn't apply. Now in the second version, it's the other way around, he's asking whether Me'ila applies. And in the second version, Amalei Rav Ami b'tibor lachirida. So Rav Ami asks, why aren't you asking about him? Olo lo yerdu. And Amalei, and Rav Yechanan answers, you read the loy kamaboyli, because when it comes to taking them off the mizbeach, I have no question. The nasu lachmesh on mizbeach, there's no question they became the food of the mizbeach, and they stay there. As Olai had said, kamaboyli me'ila. My question would be as far as me'ila, or parshat hachi, and Rav Yechanan answers the question, his own question, lo yerdu v'ein v'ein me'ila, you don't take them off, and nevertheless me'ila does not apply. So in both versions, he comes to the same conclusion, but the two versions are just differing which thing he took as a given, and which one he was asking about. Next, the Mishnah had said, the Elu Lohir Psulim, that the following, the Mishnah gives a long list of things that are not Psulim Bakodesh, and therefore in Olu Yerudu, if you put them on the Mizbeach, you take them off. Reveya, the Nirba, Muktzah, the whole list that the Mishnah had given over there. Now, one of the ones on the list was Bali Mumin, but we said Rabbi Akiva disagrees. So, as we said before, Rabbi Akiva is machshir only when it comes to a mum involving dukin shaba'ayin, which, as we said, means either a mum in the eyelid or it means cataract. Because such a thing would be kosher when it comes to brood korbanos. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, with brood korbanos, only if they're missing a limb, we talked about Tosfos discusses, does it actually mean that it has to be missing or just non-functional? But anyway, only if it's mechusar aver, then it's possible. Rashi brings the same thing, the same possible that the Gemara had just brought before, that it would be a degrading thing to bring a bird that's missing a limb to Hashem as a korban, and therefore you can't do that. But if it just has a mum, then by birds it doesn't matter. The Torah tells us the concept that it has to be tumim, and it has to be a male, only by animals, not by birds. So therefore by birds, minor mumim, such as things in the eyes, are fine. By the way, this is Mechusar Eivu being possible for a korban. We're going to learn in the last parak of our Masechta, even Bnei Noach, even when Bnei Noach can bring korbanos, and they can bring korbanos even nowadays if they want, anywhere in the world, they can bring a Baal Mum, but they can't bring a Mechusar Eivu. Because again, it would be degrading, disrespectful to Hashem to do that. So Rav Akiva would allow when it comes to Dukin Shaba'ayin, when it comes to a minor mum like that. Because the thing is kosher when it comes to birds, and therefore even by an animal it can't be considered such a degrading thing to leave on the mizbeach. But if it was a major mum, then Rabbi Akiva would agree that in olu yerdu. Furthermore, Rabbi Akiva's rule would apply only if you were first makdish the animal and then it developed a mum, because then it had kedushas mizbeach already. If it had a mum before you were makdish it, it never became kodesh mizbeach. It only had kedushas damim, and therefore we wouldn't say him olo lo yerdu. However, continues Rabbi Yechanan, umoyde Rabbi Akiva ba'olas nekeva. Now Rabbi Akiva will agree if a person designated a female animal for an oila. Now an oila is supposed to have to be a male animal. So if he was makdish a female animal, So then he would agree that in Ola Tered, such a thing would be kosher by birds. The kikodam mumalechdesh adami, because that's the equivalent of having a mum before it was mukdash, because that's the greatest mum. That's the wrong gender. So the same way as if the animal had a mum before you were makdash. So in other words, the rule is like this. So Rav Akiva's rule is limited first of all to dukin shabayin. Second of all, so it can't be mechusar aver. Second of all, that it has to be that you were makdish it first. And third of all, even though it is true that the rule of male versus female doesn't apply to birds, just like the rule of woman doesn't apply to birds, nevertheless, an oila, it has to be a male. If he designates a female as an oila, then we would still say him ola yerid. Because that's the equivalent of having a moon before you were Makdash, and it never had Kedusha and Guf. The Keren Oda points out that actually it has a certain limited Kedusha and Guf. If you designate a female animal as an Oila, the din is that you don't just give it to Better Kabayas or something. You sell it and you use the animal to buy an Oila. So we see that it has to a certain extent Kedusha and Guf. Nevertheless though, the fact is it doesn't have Kedusha Mizbeach, and for our purposes, the important thing is whether it has Kedusha Mizbeach, and it does not. So the Gemara says, Boy Rav Yirmiyah. So Rav Yirmiyah asks in this connection, since we're talking about differences between animals and birds, things that are kosher by birds and possible by animals, these minor women or females for an oila, what about Boy Rav Yirmiyah, yesh nirba ba'ofis, or a nirba ba'ofis? The psul that we mentioned in our Mishnah, that we mentioned in a number of places in Shas, about an animal that was used for bestiality, would that apply to birds or not? Reveya is where it's the active partner, Nirba is where it's the passive. Now, birds, unlike animals and unlike people, do not have an aver that sticks out. The Gemara mentions elsewhere there are a few kinds of birds that do, but those are not the kinds that you can use as karbonis. You can only use doves and turtle doves, and those don't have an external aver. So now, so the concept of reveya, in other words, can't really apply to birds, because reveya would be that organ is stuck into something else, and by a bird there's no such organ. The question would be, does the soul of nearby apply if a person were to use a bird for such a purpose? So would it become possible or not? As usual, we're talking about when there was only one aid, or the person himself came to Beis Din and admitted it, because otherwise if there were two aidim, then anyway the bird is going to be chayav nisa. So the question is, now like this, miyamrinin, do we say like this, where do we learn that a rezeya and nirba is possible in the first place? The posel is min habehema, that you can bring karbonis from the animals, and the word min is a mute, so it means lahotzi as a rezeya van nirba, that comes to exclude an animal that was used for bestiality, whether active or passive. So now we could say, since we're learning them both from the same thing, you could say kol hecha de iseh bereveya iseh benirba. Any time, any species of animal where reveya is relevant and nirba is relevant, kol hecha de lesseh bereveya lesseh benirba. And where reveya is not relevant, then neither is nirba. Since by birds, at least the type of birds that you can bring as a korban, reveya is not shayach, so maybe nirba is not shayach for them either. Or the fact is an Aveiro was done with it, maybe that is enough reason to pass it. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabba Toshna, we'll bring a proof from our mission. That's why we're bringing this piece in early. We said, Rabbi Akiva Machshav Baalei Mumin. Rabbi Akiva allowed by Baalei Mumin that, again, if they were placed on the Mizbeach, that if their parts were placed on the Mizbeach, in Olo Lo Yodu, and we said we're talking about minor Mumin that apply to animals but not birds. Now the im isa, and the reason for that was again because minor women such as Dukin Shabayan would be kosher by birds, then therefore we're not going to passel them so much by animals as to take them off the mizbeach. So now the im isa, if you were going to tell me that nirba is kosher by a bird, then nachshonami b'nirba, then you should say the same thing if an animal was nirba, that b'diavad Rabbi Akiva should allow it to be left on the mizbeach, horov kosher b'oifus, for the same reason, because it would be kosher by birds. Obviously the implication is that no, by birds nirba is indeed possible. What says Shmamina? That proves it. Amr of Nachmi, so can Rav Nachmi says afanan nami tanena. In fact, we have a brisa that says exactly that. A bird in that earlier in our Masechta, we talked about in the sixth parak, we talked about the dinim of Nivlas Oif Tahar. When you have a dead kosher bird that a person swallows it, then he becomes Tomei. We talked about that in terms of Malika, where a korban, a chatos, the oif is supposed to have Malika done to it, and the korban still eat it. That's an exception to the rule, but ordinarily, we said if the korban is possible, then the Malika does not save it from this tumor, and the person still becomes Tommy when he swallows it. So what Braisa says, in this connection, and Nirba, a bird that was used for bestiality, v'hamukta, or that was set aside as a korban for avodah zarah, v'hanevad, or it itself was worshipped, the esnan, or it was used as a fee for a zayna, or mechir, it was used as the exchange for a dog, v'tumtum v'androgynous, or a bird that is a tumtum v'androgynous. Now, even though we said that both male and female birds are kosher as korbanos, But nevertheless, Rashi points out, a tumtum ran and dragoness are still possible for a korban, because this braisa holds that a tumtum ran and dragoness are considered beriyah b'fnei atzma. They're considered almost like a third gender. And therefore, so, fine, you can say you can bring either male or female birds as korbanos, and there's no limitation like there is by animals, but it has to be either male or female, whereas this braisa holds a tumtum ran and dragoness are considered basically a third gender. Rashi points out that Rebbe Eliezer argues with this in the Gemara and Bechoros, and says that that they would be kosher. But our Braisa is disagreeing with Rebbe Eliezer on that. Anyway, Kulan Matan and Gadama, based on Leah, any such birds, if Malika was done to them, then the Malika doesn't help. The Korban is possible, and therefore if a person swallows it, then he and his clothes become tummy. Because as we said, only a malika for a korban that's kosher makes it that now the person can eat it and doesn't become tummy. So we see that, clearly from that braisa that it lists nirva as a type of bird that is possible for a korban, so that answers Rabbi Yirmiyah's question. Shmamina, so the Gemara says, good, that proves it. Next, the Mishnah had said, we had the Tanakama saying that Bali Mumim are in the category of the older Yehudu, that even if they went on some Mizbeah, we still take them off. Rabbi Akiva had disagreed and said Bali Mumim are kosher, as we just said, certain types of Mumim, certain types of minor Mumim. But then Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koinim had said in the Mishnah, he had said, Doicha Hoya Abbas Bali Mumim Me'agabe Mizbeah. My father, who of course was also a Koin, would push off Bali Mumim from the Mizbeah. So the Gemara asks, Rav Chanina Sgana Koinim, Chola Maika Mashmalon. What is the chidush of what Rav Chanina Sgana Koinim wants to tell us? The Tanakama already said that you take Bali Mumim off from Zeach. So the answer is he boasts him a Maisa Kamashmalon. One possibility is Rav Chanina Sgana Koinim is not adding a new din, but he wants to show us that this was done in practice. Halacha the Maisa is always more powerful. Sometimes you have, the Gemara will tell us something, but it's maybe only meant theoretically. So now Rav Chanina Sgana Koinim is telling us in practice, this is how my father, who was one of the distinguished Koinim, would do things. Another possibility, maybe the Chanina Sgana Koinim means, as we said, and as we already learned in the Mishnah, that it doesn't mean that he would actually push them off the Mizbeach, but rather like he would sort of like accidentally on purpose push them off, pretend like it was a mistake or something. So that way, in other words, so he is basically following what the Tanakhama is saying. They don't belong on the Mizbeach. But he was removing them in a way that wouldn't make it obvious. In fact, the Sfas Emes says he would do that with all of these ones that Psula Bakodesh. He's still, Rav Chanina Sgana Koinim is telling us that, fine, you other Chachamim agree that in many cases of Ein Psula Bakodesh, you take them off the Mizbeach no matter what. And even Rabbi Akiva is arguing only as far as Dukin Shabayan and only with the other criteria that we just said before. Nevertheless, Rav Chanina Sgana Koinim is telling us, don't actually go and brazenly and openly take them off the Mizbeach, but rather do it like a Kalach of Yad, do it almost like an incidental thing. Okay. The Mishnah had said, Kishem Shem Olach. Although we said with all these psulim that we said in the Mishnah, even though we had some of them that Im Olu Lo Yerudu, nevertheless, we said if they were brought up to the Mizbeach, you don't take them down, the same way we said Im Yodu Lo Yalu. If you do take them off the Mizbeach, then you don't put them back on. We mentioned on them with Aleph, for example, in connection with the kishkis of a korban, that's possible, and we have other examples. Well, Omakullah, however, Ullah says, Leishonu Ella Shalem Moshla Behenha Ur. However, that would only apply if the fire has not yet begun to dominate them, meaning to burn them. Aba Moshla Behenha Ur, but if these psulim were already started to be burnt by the fire, and even Kol Shehu, Rashi says, then if they do go off the Mizbeach, we do in fact go and put them back up. So later on in the paragraph, we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, Tosfos discusses, does that mean that you have to put them back, or does it mean that you could put them back if you want to? But in any case, so in other words, the whole rule that we're saying, Yodu Lo Yalu, would only be if they hadn't been touched by the fire yet. So the Gemara says, Rav Mori Masni Aresha. Rav Mori had referred Ula's statement to the Resha of the Mishnah, where our Mishnah had said that you have this psulim that him Ola lo Yodu, and that him Ola lo Yodu, and nevertheless, if they were taken off the Mizeach, then we don't put them back on, but if in between they had been burnt by the fire, then we do in fact put them back up on the Mizeach. On the other hand, so that was the way we had just learned. Rav Chanina Misura Masni Asefa. On the other hand, Rav Chanina Misura says that Ula's Din refers to the Sefa, namely to the next Mishnah, which we'll learn tomorrow about Hashem, for a few lines down on this Amud, where the Mishnah says, Hatzamos, the bones of a korban, Vagidin, or the Gidin, which includes nerves and blood vessels and tendons and various other structures like that, Vakarnayim, and the horns of the animal, Vaflafayim, and the hooves, Bizman Shemachobarin, any of these things, if they're still attached to the body of the animal, Yalu, then they go up onto the Mizdeach. We're talking about as far as an oath. So an oiler, where the whole thing is burnt on the Mizdeach. If the bones are still attached, then you burn them together with the oiler. If the hooves are still attached, you still burn them, etc. Hoshu, but if they were separated from the body of the animal, lo yalu, then you don't put them on the Mizdeach. And in fact, as we're going to learn tomorrow, Bas Hashem, Rebbe holds, and the Gemara is going to explain that the next Mishnah is according to Rebbe, that it means that even if you did put them on the Mizdeach, you do take them down. Now, on that, says Rav Chanina Misura, Oma Ola, that on that, Ola says, Loishanu, Ela, Shaloi Moshla Behena Ur, that would only apply if the fire didn't start burning them. Ava Moshla Behena Ur, but if the fire started burning them, Yalu, then even Rebbe would say that you do put them back up. So, according to Rav Chanina Misura, that's the case that Ola is referring to. Not the case of the psulim of our Mishnah, but rather the case of the non-essential parts of the animal. Not really non-essential, bones are essential, but whatever, the non-flesh parts of the animal that we're going to discuss in the next Mishnah, that when they're put up, they don't belong being put up on the Mizdeach on their own. And if they did, then Rebbe says, even if we put them up, you take them down, but if Moshel Behan Ur, then you still leave them. So the Gemara points out, Manda Masni Asefa, Rav Chanina Misura, who says that Ula's Din goes on the Sefa, on the next Mishnah about the bones and the Gidim and so forth, Kol Shekena Reisha, he would say all the more so by the Reisha, which is talking about the actual Evorim, the actual limbs of the and Emurim of the Ola, where those would have been burnt on the Mizdeach if they hadn't been apostle, then how much more so we would say that once the fire burnt them, then they still stay or go back on the Mizdeach. However, Manda Masni Aresha, however, a Mori who learned Ula's statement as referring to the Resha, as referring to our Mishnah, he would say, Avala Seifa, but no, when it comes to the Seifa, Lav Vneach Toraninu, these are not things that are meant to be burnt by themselves at all, and therefore he would say that no, it doesn't matter whether the fire burnt them or not, we would still say in that they don't belong on the Mizdeach by themselves, in Ola Yodu, even if they went onto the Mizdeach and take them down, and even if going to that way of looking at it, Moshla Behana Ur, even if the fire already started burning them, you would still take them off the Mizdeach because those are not things that were meant to be burnt in the first place, unlike the Pasul HaKorbanos of the first part of our Mishnah, where they were Psulim B'Kodesh, and therefore once they're burnt on the Mizdeach, they're considered Lachmei Shel Mizdeach.